Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host as always, Peter, and I'm joined this week by Donny. How are you, Donny?
I'm very well, thank you.
And the returning Tom after a couple weeks hiatus. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay, housekeeping first, guys. You might have noticed I put a tweet out a couple of days ago. The next cup of the season will be going live. Well, it is going to go live after this podcast. If you listen to this, you can DM me directly, or you can reply to the tweet I'll put out, and I will add you to the cup. It is the Fantasy Football Scotland Royalty Rumble. Quite a popular one. You're not out straight away. It's a cumulative points total weeks, and it will be started in game week 18. So this is game week 14 just passed. So you have the next few game weeks to get involved. I will obviously be shouting out everything with our podcast, and then it'll be closed doors, and the rules will be explained as you go along. Right. So we're not going to league this year, because this week even, because the podcast isn't... The game week isn't finished. So what we'll do is we'll go to the points so far in the game week. Tom, we'll come to you first. What is your points and rank as it stands? And how many players do you have left to play in the game week?
I'm currently on 54 points. I've got a green arrow as it stands. I'm up to 285th. And I've still got Murray Brown and Tanzer to play. And that's it. Points consist of Clark in goals for 7, Captain Tav for 20, Tanzer for 6, Brown for 7. Midfield, Leslie's still in there. I think the best I'll get off the bench is a single point. O'Reilly, 4 points. Armstrong, 3. Palmer, 1. Vice-captain Kyogo has 2. Danilo has 2. And Murray currently on 2.
Hey, Donny, same with you. Points total, rank, and many players left to play tonight.
Yep, so I've got 3 players still to play. My total so far is 51 minus 4 is 47. So starting off, got Hemming in goals for 6, Captain Tav 20, Penrice for 3, Brown for 7, Palmer for 1, Armstrong for 3, O'Reilly for 4, O'Hara 3, Danilo 2, Kyogo vice-captain 2, the best on my bench will be 2 as well for Bakayoko. So my global score is 841. I was 34th. I'm currently red arrow down 18 to 52nd, so not the best of weeks, albeit still got a few more potential points.
Myself, 57 points, minus 4, so 53. That is Laidlaw 6, Brown 7, Tavernier 10, Beck 9, Captain Tanzer 12, Armstrong 3, O'Reilly 4, O'Hara 3, Palmer 1, Furuhashi, vice-captain 2, best eventual have is 2, I've got 4 to play, including my captain, and it is currently a grey arrow, stayed 5th, so kind of complain about that. Right, so the results of the game week so far were St Mirren 1, Livingston 0, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1, St Johnstone 0, Dundee 1, Hibernian 2, Celtic 1, Motherwell 1, Aberdeen 1, Rangers 1, and of course, double game week fixture tonight is Ross County versus St Mirren. So, Tom, take it away.
Yep. So our first fixture, we have Celtic 1, Motherwell 1. Celtic scored with a Turnbull penalty. Palma had a penalty earlier in the game, which he failed to score. For Motherwell, it was Obika that got the goal with an assist from Spittle. Turnbull was the only player on the pitch to have more than a single shot on target. He managed two, one of which was the penalty, so not looking great for Celtic attacking-wise. They do look really turgid again. They are struggling to break teams down. I think it's a possibility to consider getting rid of Kyogo at this point. He doesn't seem to be perma-vice-captain anymore, so I might be looking elsewhere to vice-captain in future game weeks, but we've got a question on this coming up, so maybe not go into that in too much detail as it stands. For Motherwell, it was a late goal. I think you guys are more keen on them than myself, particularly Spittle. He did get the assist, but he's not really done a lot over the last five to six game weeks, but perhaps this could be Motherwell reigniting things. Obika could be a cheap forward option as well. This is only his third game week. And he's had quite a bit of injury up until now. Peter, I'll come to you first. What's your feelings about Celtic and what's your thoughts on Motherwell assets?
Motherwell assets played well defensively. Whether it's a turning point, I don't know. So as before, with St John's and coming to Parkhead and doing this, then done nothing after it. So that remains to be seen. Celtic, I agree with you, say, Tom, a bit turgid looking coming forward. I think something you tell in these games, after 15 minutes, it's going to be a long slog. Palmer missed a penalty. So fantasy-wise, is he going to be off penalties after that? So that's one to wait and see. Kyogo got a question on later, so interested we all discuss about that. I am not getting carried away with Celtic. I've tripled up, but it doesn't look clever this week. But it is this time of the season where those games are coming thick and fast, and you're just kind of hope this is a blip and they come back next week. If it continues like this, I might be coming off on treble up, going to double up. Not much to say, isn't the best performance. Didn't lose any ground in the league. Got that wee one in there first, so I suppose I can take it as it comes.
This is it. Donny, what's your opinion?
No, Peter's right. They dropped points, but they didn't lose any ground. They did, however, extend their lead in the penalties one table with two, so congratulations. As an outsider, Celtic should be winning these games, and I'd rather they didn't, but they should have enough, and that's two games at home. Where they've not been able to beat a relatively easy side. We've got to remember that Motherwell were in pretty poor form as before going into this one. Palma was my transfer in, so of course he gets the penalty and misses it. So that was a good one there. I have no doubts that both were penalties, and the same with Rangers when we talk about that. It was just unfortunate. Turnbull took a second one. He has missed already this season. Kyogo wasn't in the pitch at the time, so whether he'll get a try, it's probably one of the concerning parts of their play is that they can't convert penalties, but that's their problem, not mine. You would have thought at 1-0, 86 minutes, that Celtic would have had enough to see the game out, but you know, thankfully, Motherwell did score, which was good because Scales was one of the players that had traded in. So if Celtic had got the clean sheet and Palma had missed the penalty, it wasn't looking good. So I don't have any concern with Celtic assets. I think if you've got Scales, O'Reilly, Turnbull, Palmer, Kyogo, any three of those should serve you well over the next few game weeks. If we think that Motherwell has turned the corner, then they do have good fixtures. Dundee, Ross County, St Johnston. You know, if you want to take a punt there. Personally, I don't have any. I don't really trust them at this moment in time, but at the time it was a good result, albeit come the Sunday night it was as you were. So yep,
just on the Kyogo thing, Donny, for you get thought he missed a penalty originally, I think maybe the end of last year, and he's not been near the penalty since. He's been on the pitch the majority of the time, so I don't know if he's a confident penalty taker, so I wouldn't think he's going to get him.
There can't be that many players left at, you know, have to take penalties. I heart.
Our next fixture then, we've got Dundee 1, Hibs 2. For Dundee, it was Owen Beck that scored the goal. For Hibs, it was Lewis Miller with an assist from Newell, and Tavares also scored with an assist from Venti. Lewis Miller did see red after receiving a second yellow later in the game. I was actually quite surprised by this scoreline. I feel like Dundee have been in decent form, and Hibs have started to lag a little bit. So I did think a result for Dundee was on the cards. For myself, I ended up buying Shaughnessy this week. It was a bit of a 50-50 between Owen Beck and Shaughnessy. And obviously, Owen Beck goes and scores, so I went for Shaughnessy, so that's just typical for me. Miller is another defender that I've considered. However, I've always had other fires to put out or double game weeks to build towards. The red obviously wasn't ideal, but he's good for attacking returns. They do have Aberdeen and Celtic next. Obviously, he's going to be suspended for a period of time, but it does give us a little bit of breathing space to consider him as an option as well. In terms of Dundee assets, Luke McCowan was responsible for 8 out of 19 of Dundee's shots. He did have some early season form and he could be coming back into a purple patch. But he needs to obviously convert these chances into fantasy points. Dundee, again, a team to keep an eye on. They do have a blank game week 16, followed by a game against Rangers. So again, some breathing time to consider Dundee assets a little bit further. I'll come to you first this time, Donny. What's your thoughts? Are you going to be sticking with Bakayoko?
No, it's something that I'll be looking to move out on. So Hibs now unbeaten in 5 games and back-to-back wins. They are starting to show some form and Dundee dropped to 7th after their recent run. From a fantasy point of view, it was probably a mixed bag because there wasn't really any standout names. In terms of Hibs, it's really difficult to pinpoint where the value lies at the moment. For Dundee, as a non-Beck owner, I was delighted to see them lose 2 goals. And then, same as yourself, he scored and ruined it all. Hibs, I've got a mixed bag of fixtures, Aberdeen, Celtic and Livy. So again, if you're going to jump on Hibs, it's difficult to see where you'll get your returns there. And as you touched on, Dundee have a blank and then Rangers. So, like, say, your Bakayoko's, you're probably going to want to come off because you're not going to get the value on him. But good win for Hibs. Probably didn't see it coming, as you say, Dundee with the form team going into the game. But that's just the way it goes.
Yep. Anything to add to that, Peter?
The Hibs situation, I know they're in a decent bit of form, but there's not many players I think stands out that I want to bring in yet. With Dundee, yeah, I'm the same as Dory. I think Bakayoko will be good out shortly. But Beck, I've had her for a while now. He's great. I'll keep him in my team. I'll just bench him that week. Just on Beck, he is top of tackles made, top of interceptions made, and he's 4th in bonus points for the game week, for the game so far. So, a question on that later, but I think that's going to answer my question when it comes to it. I think he's been pretty solid this year, and yeah, even a game like that against Pete, pops up and scores a goal. So, Owen Beck, young team.
Yep. up next then, we've got Hearts 1, St Johnstone 0. Shanklin with the goal, with an assist from Boyce. Obviously, St Johnstone still in a void just now. No clear standout players, no form, so won't say too much about them. For Hearts, obviously, Shanklin, he's on fine form just now. His last 5 game weeks, he's scored 7 points, 9 points, 4 points, 16 and 8. If Hearts are going to score, it's going to be through him. I think he's back in form, obviously, feeling confident. They do have a tough run of fixtures coming up, though. Kilmarnock, which isn't too bad, but then they've got Rangers, Aberdeen and Celtic consecutively after that. So maybe not one to dive into straight away. Hearts defence are still going strong. I think they've only got 1 clean sheet less than Celtic just now. So you could still invest in Hearts defence. They might decide to play compact against Rangers, Aberdeen and Celtic. So not something to be too worried about if you already own Hearts defenders. And you could probably argue Rangers and Celtic aren't in the best of form either, so maybe even Shanklin isn't too bad. For Hearts, there's probably no midfielders I'd consider. Nothing kind of standing out there. But I'll come to you first this time, Peter. What's your thoughts on Hearts?
Yep, normally I like to have a dig at Hearts, but credit where credit's due. Shanklin looks right back on form. He's passed an eye test as well. He's getting involved. Confidence is flying. Scotland scored Scotland goals. So I think ideally, if the money wasn't a problem, probably Shanklin would have been there as my first striker, but it's getting to him. They do look, they've tied a wee bit at the back as well, tidier defensively. Lee Swift maybe now has got an idea of his best 11 team. He's not rotating as much, I believe, as Hearts fans are saying on Twitter, but I have to wait and see. Obviously, Craig Gordon's now fit and come back, so he comes back in at all 40 pieces again. But until that happens, yep, I think Hearts look okay. I know my agenda with Craig Gordon. Shankland looks great. Hearts look good at the back, decent. There's probably two or three defenders there I like looking, maybe more than Hibs per se, and I would trust probably more. But it's a week-to-week basis. We'll wait to see how it all goes.
Yep. Donny, what do you reckon?
Yeah, three wins and a bounce for Hearts. Shankland is you know, he's key. There's folk out there that have got him on vice-captain. They'll be making great returns over the last few weeks. I don't have him. Just never fancied him at the start of the season. And I've maybe stayed loyal to Kyogo and now Danilo, but he is probably the hot property at the moment. It's worth noting he has scored against Rangers already this season. Aberdeen, not too great at the back. And you know, by the time a Celtic game comes, who knows? So fixture-wise, I probably wouldn't put me off moving to Shankland. St Johnstone had been pretty reasonable defensively, but they play Celtic next, so you wouldn't bank on that. Although I think they did get a draw against Celtic in the reverse fixture, so I take that back. Yeah, so nothing in the St Johnstone team. Hearts, I would only look at Shankland at the moment. I think you get better value other ways in the pitch. So, yeah, good win for them.
Yep. Up next then, Ross County nil, Kilmarnock nil. Obviously, a good result for those that back county defenders in the double game week. I'm sure Peter was on a county double up. For Kilmarnock, only a single shot on target, which came from Armstrong, unsurprisingly. He's been Kilmarnock's standout of the season. And this fixture, he did manage three block shots, so he's still having a pop at goal. And Daba's not getting starts. I seen the clean sheet and I thought that would be a nice 6 points coming off my bench, but he didn't actually start. And Kilmarnock don't have too bad a run coming up, so perhaps some players to consider there. For County, they've got a decent run coming up as well in terms of Livingston, Motherwell, St Mirren and Dundee. Looking at their assets, obviously James Brown still dirt cheap at 2.4 million, and there's also Leek at 2.6 million, and Laidlaw, the goalkeeper, as well. In terms of their attackers, I'm hoping Murray does something tonight. If not, perhaps it'll be a good time to move off. I'm not too sure that the hype around the cheap strikers has cooled off a little bit. Bakayoko, fixture runs a bit tougher. Obika could be an emerging prospect, and Vassell, obviously, things have cooled for him as well. So, interested to hear what your guys' thoughts are on this one. Donny, come to you first this time. What do you reckon?
Yep, so Ross County under new inverted commas management, as Derek Adams takes the helm for the third time. He must like it up in Dingwall. And I guess his first protocol was to make them harder to beat, the worst defence in the league. And I think he's doing that. Certainly that's where the value lies, I think, in the Ross County team. Talked about the keeper in recent weeks and the save points you get there. And Brown is probably one of the main defenders that we've got in most of our teams. So nice clean sheet, and some relatively good fixtures to come. Livingston, Motherwell, St Mirren could put them in good stead. For Kilmarnock, okay, a clean sheet, but you know, we probably don't have Kilmarnock defenders in our team just now. We've probably only got Armstrong. For me, he is on a shaky peg. I've backed him over the course of the season, but you know, there's only so long you can flog a dead horse. I do have Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic, so that's really tricky fixtures, so it might be time to cash out on him for the next few weeks. But 0-0, would I want another 0-0 tonight? Probably not, because there's people out there who've got captaincy on St Mirren defenders, so maybe a wee Ross County goal and a O'Hara penalty would do me well. But a good result, stops the rot and it gives them something to work on.
Peter, anything to add there?
Don't repeat it quite well with Kilmarnock. I expect Armstrong is on my kind of shuddly peg type. Now he's not producing as much as I'd like to do it. There's nobody really else in the team right now. I go to Ross County, I've kept the double up for quite a while, and it's certainly not bad recently with a decent run I've been on. New manager in, defensively minded, should keep that up, hopefully. Brown's quite attacking fullback. Laidlaw, we mentioned week after week. He's a decent goalkeeper. He's a bonus point, saves point, even if they don't keep clean sheets, he does. And I would, I'll take a one each of right, Donny, as long as it stands and it hits the assist in and gets all my bonus points. But, yeah, I think ideally for me, 0-0 would be great tonight because I think I would take me up to third or fourth. But these things aren't always work out the way it is. I think it's, if Tanzer gets 4 points, that it would match Tavernier. It was kind of took the hit on the fixtures, try to see if it was a chance. But overall, St Mirren and Ross County, they're probably two teams you probably would bank more value in because we've mentioned teams so far, we've not really had any sort of conviction or we're getting back them up with players. And when you get a new manager about sometimes, and St John's, another one I got my own slightly, if Levine comes in with the exact same kind of mindset and tightens them up, there could be value there in defence. But again, it's Scottish football, it's week to week to see what teams can hit a better form.
Our next fixture then, we've got St Mirren 1, Livingston 0. For St Mirren, it was actually an own goal. It was Sean Kelly that scored. Both teams only managed a single shot on target, so the clean sheet was probably safe there. It was a shame that Strain was out. I had the double down, so but I did still get the clean sheet for Tanza. St Mirren do seem a little bit off the boil just now. Ayunga is back, though. A midfielder playing out of position as a striker. So something to keep an eye on there. He's yet to produce any hauls, but one to monitor. O'Hara does continue to blank. Not too confident in him. Kilty could be a consideration. But overall, probably not flocking towards St Mirren attackers, but I do still rate the defence. In terms of Livingston, Sean Kelly, obviously scoring the wrong kind of goal. He's probably the only option I'd have at St Mirren. It's purely down to his price and the fact that he's on penalties makes it ideal for the bench trick and saving that valuable balance to go towards the starting 11 for me. But I'll come to you first, Peter. You're obviously confident on St Mirren with your captaincy choices.
Yeah, it was just the fixtures, just the fixture head. Blue years will play FPL. He's two fixtures, two favourable fixtures. I went, well, he's got a chance. He's an attacking winger. Clean sheet took a hit for him, so he's paid that back the first fixture. We'll see what happens tonight. Livingston is, to me, is a complete avoid. I noticed the supercomputer had him now favourites to go down, and AI done the same thing, so I think Livingston's on free fall. Kelly's a cheap asset, but he's another one on my hat list. I think there's some other players you can maybe go to bring in and more chance of returns. St. Manuel strains out for a while actually, so that's one I'm sure a lot of people had bench him this week, maybe to move off next week. Donny's on the keeper, he's another good option. He's pretty similar to Laidlaw for his turns. And Kilty, I saw a few captain Kilty's in the top 10, top 20 people playing the fixtures as well, so that's interesting. I think he gets 6 points the first game, so he's still to play. He's quite attacking. Apart from that, not much to add. No, it's the same names bench every week.
Yep. Donny, anything to include there?
No, not really. As Peter said, Strain has a strain, so he will be out for a few weeks. So if you didn't already sell him, then I would advise that you do so. I'd already taken a -4, didn't really want to take a -8, so I'll ship him out this week. I'm in the Kelly camp. I mean, obviously championed him back at the start when he came into the team. I think for his price, he's just a hold. What you also need to consider is they've got a double game week in 18. So if you've got him there, it's probably better just keeping him around for that and then see where you're after. Yeah, St Mirren, they play tonight and then they play Rangers. So, you know, if they get a win tonight and then lose at the weekend, I'd be happy with that. But it was disappointing that Kelly got the OG. He couldn't do much about it and they didn't really have a chance at the other end. So, fair play to St Mirren. They're continuing their good run of form.
Yep. Final fixture of the weekend then. Aberdeen 1, Rangers 1. For Aberdeen, it was Miovski with the goal with an assist from Sockler. For Rangers, it was a Tavernier penalty in the dying minutes of the game, which was won by Goldson. Stats-wise in this game, Tom Lawrence was the standout for me. He had 4 shots on target, hit the woodwork, and he's reasonably priced for a Celtic Rangers midfielder at 4.9 million. Could be one to consider going forward. Balogun also hit the woodwork in this game, so perhaps Rangers were unlucky not to come away with all 3 points. Danilo, the preferred Rangers striker, two shots on target, but nothing to show for it. Aberdeen do seem to be a bit of a bogey team for Rangers. And you probably would expect Rangers to come back fighting at their next fixture for St Mirren at home. So for me, Danilo's probably a hold for that. They do have a European game midweek as well, as do Celtic tonight. So it gives us an opportunity just to keep an eye on both teams and see if we can sort of pick out any form players from that. For Aberdeen, they have been off the boil a little bit. They can't make second in their European group, so perhaps they'll now take less focus in Europe and sort of set their sights on getting results in the league. So Aberdeen's a team that will be on my radar going forward. Possible Aberdeen assets are Devlin, just because he's cheap. And Aberdeen do have a nice run of fixtures. They don't face Celtic or Rangers until game week 24 now. So if they can start to find some form, I'll be looking to shift funds into Aberdeen. What's your thoughts on that one, Peter?
Yeah, I was just going to mention Aberdeen fixture on there. I'm not impressed with them, really. There's no players to meet stands out ideally, but with that fixture on, I think you've got to hedge your bets again. And maybe defensively, like you said, Devlin's one I've got wrote down here for. As much as I've got the double up Ross Courtney, I don't want to be on double up every week, so I'd like to hedge my bets and spread my defence about, and that's a cheap alternative. Rangers, I thought that's the worst I've played that I've seen under Clement anyway, Donny. I don't know if you agree when it gets you. I don't know if it's because of the slow centre back, the full backs to kind of stay back to cover more. That's what I was alluding to online. It's just one of the games. Aberdeen do raise their games for Rangers. I know it only states a thing, but I think they do. It's amazing the derby doesn't go in their head. So they raise their game. Rangers were pretty poor. Tavernier at the rescue again. I mentioned Cantwell a few weeks ago, but he keeps on playing Cantwell out wide. Is that right? He's not playing that 10 role, which is, I feel, is not using them to his best ability. So obviously it affects the fantasy aspect of it. So I've cooled off on that aspect. Again, as I mentioned last week, I think yourself and Lockie Donny, I'm not keen on a second or third asset until the European football's out of the way, and then I can maybe dive in. But right now, there's nothing that interests me. And I dodged the bullet, spoiled, because nobody really banged at the weekend apart from Tav, which is the one I have. So I'm happy to roll with that the next couple of weeks.
Yep, Donny.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I know you're not a fan of Aberdeen, but what's your thoughts?
No, what makes you say that? Well, Aberdeen have taken 4 points out of six off the Rangers this season, and if it wasn't for those 4 points, to be bottom of the league. So you're welcome, Aberdeen. I guess if you can't win, don't lose. And Rangers managed that, so it wasn't a great Sunday afternoon for me. I was out checking my phone every 30 seconds because I was hoping that they would come back. But I don't know, if you're going to look on the bright side, that's the second time under Clement that we've got something from a game that, you know, late on I don't think we would have under previous management. So I guess you've got to look positive on that. The 2018 Rangers defence were easily undone by a Route 1 ball. That was not a surprise at all. And that obviously gave Aberdeen the confidence. But, you know, Rangers, you know, give them their dues. They tried as best they could, hit the bar twice, and just couldn't get the breakthrough. But thankfully, the Aberdeen defender was so keen to swap shirts with Conor Goldson that he decided to grab it for himself in the injury time. The ref tried not to give it. However, VAR intervened. So it was a penalty, as much as Barry Robson tries to play it down. And thankfully, Tavernier put it away. So it's advantage Captain Tav at the moment. Obviously, St Mirren will get a chance tonight for yourself, Peter. But a nice 20 points was good, because it certainly didn't feel like that. Aberdeen, as you say, they do have a good run. Miowski's probably the only one I would put my faith in. I don't trust the defence at this moment in time. But again, he's up against the likes of Shankland, who's probably outscoring him, so I will hold off in Aberdeen. Rangers, they've got a slightly better run with St Mirren, Hearts and Dundee. And like you say, it's quite unusual not to have three Rangers players at this stage in the season, but, you know, unless you've got luck on your side, I think Tav is the only permanent hold at the moment. I've got Danilo, but, you know, I'm a Rangers fan, I'm going to back my striker. So yeah, I think the third one is out at the moment. But yeah, roller coaster weekend, no change at top. Could have been better, could have been worse, but you know, there you go. That's Scottish football.
This is it. I've done a top 10 so far. I thought I might give a sort of more balanced view of the game week since the doublers haven't yet doubled. I'll just run through that. So number one is Tavares, the Hibs midfielder, got 10 points. Kelly got 10 points, the Motherwell goalkeeper. Miowski, 10 points. Tav, 10 points. Lewis Miller got 9 points despite the red. Leek, 9 points. Owen Beck, 9 points. Finlay, 8 points. Cochrane, 8 points. And Shankland with 8 points as well, which gives us one goalkeeper, which is unusual. Six defenders, one midfielder, and two forwards. Obviously, the game week isn't complete, but any thoughts on that, Peter?
A couple of unusual names. I've only two there at the top 10. So I'm assuming a lot of people have got a template type team and not many of the players. So that's why the average has been so low.
And Donny?
Yeah, I've missed out on most of that. What I will say is I was going to do a differential on the guy Tavares at Hibs. So if he scores at the weekend, you can thank me for that one. But I'm going to look at fixture instead. But no. Red Arrow, none of those top 10 apart from Tav, so that's your reason why it just didn't work out this game week.
Yep.
Okay. Is Tavares a midfielder in the game?
Yeah. He's just seemed to hit a good bit of form. But yeah, he's a midfielder. Had some couple of good returns in the last few weeks, so probably just one to watch.
He caught my eye.
Sometimes that's all it takes in the middle of a season, I think. Catch him at the right time. There you go. But not to be.
Right, Donny, you mentioned it already. Donny's died, so take it away. Fixture.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of talk on fixtures over the next few game weeks because we've got blanks and doubles coming up. So I think it's important that we spend time on that so you can look at your transfers and work your way around it. December is probably the hardest month to navigate in the game. As I say, blanks, doubles, weather can intervene. So you've really got to sort of be in the ball. There's midweek fixtures. So we're just going to look at the two game weeks coming up, and then next time I'll look at the next two game weeks after that. What it is worth noting is there's a massive double game week at the end of January that's prime for chips. So these next few weeks that I'm going to talk about, you probably should manage through transfers. and just target this one at the end of January. That's going to be a belter, that one. So look at the next 2 weeks in isolation. We've got Aberdeen have a run of Hibs and Kilmarnock. Celtic play St Johnstone and Hibs. Dundee only play Motherwell, so that's one to talk about. Hearts have got Kilmarnock Rangers. Hibs have got Aberdeen Celtic. Kilmarnock Hearts Aberdeen. Livingston just the Ross County, so again they blank. Motherwell, Dundee, Ross County. Rangers, St Mirren, Hearts. Ross County, Livingston, Motherwell. St Johnstone, Celtic, St Mirren, and St Mirren, Rangers, St Johnstone. So Dundee blank in game week 16, and then they play Rangers in game week 17. So outside of Beck, if you've got anyone else, I would ship out, because that's a blank followed by Rangers, which is effectively another blank. I don't think you're going to get points there. So if you've got Beck, hold them. If you want Beck, probably just wait until after the blank, or after the Rangers game, sorry. And see where you are after that. Knowing my luck, you'll probably score in all of those games. Livingston do blank, however, they double in 18. So again, if you've got any Livingston players, you might just want to hold them, use the bench, and sort of navigate your way around there. I know they're out of form, which would probably be a concern, but as we said, Kelly, he's about 2.7 million now, maybe 2.8. It's still so cheap that if he gets a penalty, you know, you'll get your points there. So I think that would be one to hold as far as I was concerned. The best of the rest, I think we touched on it as we were talking there. Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen still all have European matches. Whilst Aberdeen are nothing to play for, you know, they will win as much points as possible for the monetary value. Worth noting that you won't get Celtic or Rangers team news over these next two game weeks. So again, it's going to be a bit of a punt that, you know, some of these players could get rotated, but probably more Celtic than Rangers. But just be mindful of that. You might not get full value. Hearts, they've got a mixed bag, Kilmarnock and Rangers. As I say, it's hard to pinpoint outside of Shankland where the value is there. And Hibs, as we say, unbeaten in five, Aberdeen and Celtic. So that's tough fixtures as well. So I think we're at a point in the season where, you know, less is more. You know, I think you might just be best saving up your transfers, targeting the doubles. There's nobody out there that I can see, oh, I must have him in my team. I mean, okay, Beck at a push, but I can work around that. I think your likes of O'Hara, Armstrong, Spittle, Kelly in the middle should be enough to see you through. Kyogo, Danilo, Shankland, you know, it's a combination of those that you're probably going to work with. I think that should be enough. You've got maybe Miovski and Venti on the sidelines. At the back, I think Tav is enough when it comes to the Rangers defence. I know there's a few, you know, try to put two in there, but I think one's maybe enough. I would stay clear of Celtic just because you get better value in the middle. And then you can have budget defenders like Zabek, Brown, Mayo that'll pick up returns that way. So I'd say I'll be back again to do the double game week. But until then, are you guys looking to make any significant changes over the next couple of weeks, Peter?
Not really. There's nobody, like you said, there's nobody to stand about like sore from and put their hand up and saying, pick me. And with all Celtic, just form.
Yeah.
Not, all right, they might be winning most games, but nobody's really crying out and go, I must have his asset. Palmer was at one point. We've got him, then the Elves that week, Ham. So I'm just taking it week to week. I'm going to try to keep one transfer constantly rolled for these game weeks, like you mentioned, so that he
can
attack the doubles and get the blanks and avoid it best I can. And hopefully somebody catches fire between now and then that you can jump on it. Like you mentioned, what Tavares, just because that was just somebody mentioned quite recently there that if his form continues, then we mentioned Armstrong earlier in the podcast, who's not really been on fire, and it's creating an easy sidestep move, and hopefully that moves. Apart from that, nah, I mean, we'll get questions on players later that we'll cover in more proper detail, but it's a weird one this time of season, and we mentioned fields and strikers at the start of the season were excited, couldn't fit them all in, and it all went quite quiet.
Yeah, I think whenever Rangers or Celtic get an off result, it kind of throws the game, and of course we had them both dropping points this weekend, so you're not really seeing the big jump out points. Tom, you're pretty shrewd with your transfers week in, week out. Have you got any big plans? No doubt you've got two in the bank.
No, I've just got the one.
Yeah.
Nothing big. I'll probably just keep ticking along, and then start doing one week punts up towards the end of January, and then we look towards the dead end of the team, and then maybe even do consecutive wild cards in and out of the double. See how things go. If there's fixtures cancelled throughout sort of December, January, that's usually when most of the fixtures are cancelled.
Then definitely get a backlog.
Could reassess and see if there's going to be any more doubles that might be more favourable. But for the time being, that's probably what my sort of provisional plan would be.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, game week 18 isn't a great one either, but I'll talk about it nonetheless. The one in January is fantastic, and all chips will be getting played there, I imagine, because there's quite a few teams have doubles there. So just be mindful, as I say, there's a blank coming up for Dundee and Livingston. Dundee then play Rangers, so that's probably your main one. Livingston have a double 2 weeks after. So that's really the main things to look out for as far as fixtures go. Okay?
Yep. See the double game week in January. What's the date, Dory?
I think it's the 27th for the second fixture tracker.
Yeah, it's 27th.
Yeah, 27th. Right. Game week 23.
Just one. Two points there would be that the window's opened at that point, and I imagine Celtic Rangers will both try to strengthen their team. Newlander or Rangers try to reject the squad for Celtic, so more players to kind of play on, and Kyogo could possibly still be away at the Asian Cup, so Celtic will have no strikers, so Kyogo options, but that's how we kind of approach through the time. That's just something to the back of my mind, and we'll get a Kyogo question later, so people. Right, on two questions then this week. So first up is RP Liger. What's wrong with Celtic, he says? I think we've covered this quite a lot now. Don, you asked us in the point and in the text as well. It just seems a bit off. I don't know what your thoughts is, Tom, but I'll quickly summarise what I think it is. I think Brendan Rodgers has a plan. He wants to play a style of football, and the players at his disposal can't play the style of football he wants right now. See, when you look at the games, like in isolation, the mistakes getting made and the kind of plays getting dropped off is with the players who you'd believe, I think, are the poorest players in the team. So I think he's just kind of juggling square pegs, round holes until January, and I'd like to think he would maybe try to put identity on the team. And I think that's what's wrong with it. That's just me. I think he's got good players on the team, but he's got a lot of average players on the team, and I think we can't do what he's asking him to do, and I think it's shown on the pitch. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Brendan Rodgers is the problem.
Not what I said, but okay.
he wants to play a certain type of football, and it's just not happening. He's obsessed with keeping possession, and teams just sit back and say, like, pass along the back line.
Yeah, I've been there.
it's infuriating at times, and I just want Ange back. That's really what
a bag of cans.
I think. And a bag of cans.
He's not doing that great this show either.
No, he's just four a trot. Man City next. That game was off the point. See when I saw the game they lost their full back line and suspension as it was making home with Roost, this is going to be hard to compete in that league.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the question. You any add to that, Donal? You're not a Celtic fan, does he?
No, it's good that they are dropping points if only Rangers can capitalise. But no, I've been there. That style of play, you just come up against a low block, and if you can't break it down, you know, you can play all day and never score. So it's not a surprise they have dropped points to like some other Motherwell, like St Johnston, that they're never going to cause you trouble at the back, but just make it so dogged. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's a 2 weeks, 2 weeks continue on. Right, next question is from John Cameron at Cammy37. Is it time to move off the captain template, Captain Tav, Kugel vice captain? I'll answer the first part of that question quickly. Tavernier, no. Stick to Tavernier, captain. He showed that the weekend again. Kugel vice captain, on this form, potentially, but it's where you move to. So what's your thoughts on that, Donny? Captain Cav still, Kyogo?
Yeah, I mean, Tav's the top point scorer in the game, so moving off of him is crazy. Kyogo, despite his quiet spell, is the third top scorer in the game. So again, it'd be a bit naive to come off of him. For completeness, Matt O'Reilly's the second top scorer in the game. Beck and Shankland are fourth and fifth. So it gets risky if you start to look elsewhere. But I'm not going to move off anytime soon. I feel like I say it every week, but Kyogo can brace quite quickly. And Tav, despite the clean sheets, has always got a penalty in him. So no change for me.
I think people forget last year with Kyogo under Ange that somebody who didn't kick the ball very often, had maybe four touches, scored two goals. He's just one of the players, so he will explode at some point, and if you don't vice-captain, you'll probably rue the day. Tom, are you sticking with the tried and tested captain Tav and vice-captain Kyogo?
I think stick with captain Tav for vice-captain Kyogo. I think you'd be brave coming off this week because they're playing against St. Johnson. But I think after that, if he was to blank, I'd probably be playing it on a week-to-week basis, my vice-captain. I don't know if he'll come off Kyogo yet. I mean, freeing up some funds would be quite nice. I think it could be possible going forward, particularly once Hearts come out the other end of that tough fixture run.
Yeah.
Hearts do have quite a nice double as well in game week 23. Both home fixtures against Dundee and Aberdeen. So Shanklin would be nice. If you don't have your wild cards, and you might be wanting to make the move in preparation for that. I don't think that's a bad idea. But for the time being, it's still early days. We're still at the start of December. I'll be sticking with him probably for this game week. And then, as I said, case by case after that.
His second part of the question was asking, I'm sure, I think it means Kyogo on penalties, and if not, should he go on penalties? But I think we'll answer that earlier on. He's took a penalty before, didn't score it. He's won a pitch most of the time penalties have been given, and he's not taking it, so I don't think he's going to be the penalty taker. I think it would be Turnbull or Hatate or Palmer, whoever's on the pitch, if that kind of ilk. I don't think Kyogo's a penalty taker, so I would just keep that in mind. And watch this, he'll get a penalty now and he'll take it, but I just don't see him being a penalty taker. Never looks confident, never looks like he wants the ball when the penalty's given either, so I don't think that's the same thing. Right, next up is from FPL Bacon. Is Palmer still essential? Was planning to game 15, but now a little nervous after this past weekend. Thanks. So I'll start this one. I don't know whether he's essential. I just think he's probably the most explosive midfielder at this kind of form. He's had one penalty, missed it. As Donny said, the sword's all for him. Donny takes a hit and brings him in. I'm interested to see if he's still on penalties. That's the one I want to say, but I still think when you see him play, he's taking shots from here and everywhere. I think there's a hole in him here and everywhere. He's as close as you're going to get to probably Jota this season for Celtic as a winger. So, without seeing his essential, he's probably the midfield I've got in. Thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. You're not going to go with Yang, so there's not really anyone doing it at Rangers just now. So, O'Reilly and him's probably the two to have. Again, keep an eye on form. His head might go down. A lot of his shots are from distance, so probably the best we've got just now in terms of our options.
Sound depressed. Donny, you brought him in, so I'm assuming you broke him in not for 1 week only. You see the
same I think one bad week isn't enough to bin him, especially the fixtures they've got in December. I mean, the problem was we sat back and we watched him get some good hauls, and then we thought, right, we need to bring him in, and the week that we bring him in, he misses a pen. But that can happen. That's football. As you say, he could get put back on penalties at the rate that Celtic miss. So it's a hold for me. I think as a creative player, if he's not going to score, he can certainly get assists. And for that reason, I think it's a good matchup. I think that's the only value there is in that midfield is him and O'Reilly. So why not just pair them up and see what you get from it?
Okay, next up is from FPL Showroom. Should we keep faith with Danilo, and is Beck now essential? So I'll let the Danilo question to you, Donny, but the Beck question first, I already answered. Top of the tackles, top interceptions, fourth in bonus points this season. Maybe the price might put you off now because he's over 3 million, Dundee defender. But if you're on him at cheaper end, when I had him at 2.5, I think he's a no-brainer to keep the team. But I'd like to hear your ideas because obviously now that's 0.5 million more. And as Donny said, he's a fixture, a blank then Rangers. So,
yeah.
Danilo, thoughts, Donny, and Beck?
I think Danilo is personal choice. Again, before the international break, he went on a good run. We took him in. He was benched and then did nothing against Aberdeen. So, it's personal choice. I'm a Rangers fan. I'm going to back him. He's the main forward in the team. And okay, it didn't pay off against Aberdeen, but that's a tough fixture. Got some good fixtures coming up. The alternatives would be Shankland and Miovski in that price range. So Shankland on form would be a sensible choice. I think if you've got him, hold him. It's like all the other players we're talking about. He can return. I wouldn't go to him at this moment in time. I would probably go to a Shankland and maybe just risk it there. Beck, I don't have Beck. If I could, I would, but the fixture's in the blank. I will just avoid it and hope that he doesn't get anything, which is what I did at the weekend. They lost 2 goals and then lo and behold, he scored. So it's just a nasty weekend for stuff like that. But I'm Danilo Camp, but that's because I'm a Rangers fan, so maybe not the best in terms of giving you advice on that one.
Tom, Danilo and Beck.
Probably stick with Danilo for now. Rangers in the next four. I've got St Mirren at home, Dundee at home and St Johnstone at home. So you'd imagine there'll be goals in those fixtures, despite Dundee having decent defensive form. They're still keeping pace with Hearts just now, I'm sure. So there's not really many other strikers which you would move to either. Obviously, Shanklin is the form striker just now. But they do have a really tough run of fixtures coming up. If you could maybe argue if Miovski starts to show some form, then perhaps he could be a consideration. But there's not really any other strikers which you'd be desperate to have anyway. So for me, he's probably a stick. In terms of Owen Beck, I think most likely, but after game week 17, after the blank in Rangers, then I think looking to have him there. Obviously, I went Shaughnessy, thinking more Beck's assists, and Shaughnessy seems to get the goals, but obviously proved me wrong this week with Beck getting a goal, so perhaps something I'll have to reassess, but yeah, keep an eye on things for now and then see, reassess after 17 for me.
Okay, and the last question is from NailStars4. So his first question, any strategy with upcoming blanks and doubles team that don't blank? So Donny's kind of covered that already, and I'm sure Donny will cover that as the game's approach, so don't you go over that again. And is it time for Kyogo to go? Those funds could be useful, thanks. So we've all kind of said no. Donny's going to hold Kyogo. Tom's, you're holding Kyogo, Tom?
Hope for the time being, yes. But
and as I said 5 minutes earlier, he's going to the Asian Cup, so there will be a point you'll have to bin Kyogo. I don't think you're going to bench him for 3 game weeks. So that's something we can get to come January when he's away. And then hopefully there's assets that have came to the fore at this point that we can jump to, or a Celtic striker replacement, but knowing Peter Lowell, we'll just say it's 3 weeks, so you can just go what you've got, stick Turnbull up there. But we will see. Right, that's the questions complete. So we'll go on to fixtures for coming game week. Once this app loads up. Right, so we have 6 fixtures, and as Donny mentioned, Celtic Rangers play Sundays. We'll continue. So on Saturday, we have Motherwell versus Dundee, Livingston versus Ross County, Kilmarnock and Hearts. So you'll get 6 teams early news. And on the Sunday, we have St Johnstone Celtic, Rangers St Mirren, and Hibs and Aberdeen. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, what is your captain, vice captain, and transfer plans for the coming game week?
Captain Tav, vice captain Kyogo. I'm not too sure what I'll do with my transfer this week. I'll have to see how Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen get on in Europe. But I think if there's no injury, I'm not forced to make a transfer, I might just hold for this game week and leave it in the bank. Nothing, no players are really catching my eye just now.
Same question to you, Donny.
So captain, vice captain, Tav Kyogo. I don't see any reason to change that. I'll be making one change in defence because I have strain, so that needs to come out. Just as Tom was speaking, I was just thinking who to go for, and I thought I could actually go Rangers, but after saying that I should maybe just listen to my own advice. So I'll see where we're at on Saturday, but I need a defender from somewhere, and Rangers probably offer best value because strain's 3.2 or something. There's good enough value that I could probably get a Rangers defender at that price. So I'll see where I'm at, but I'll need a defensive change.
Right, I'm the same. Captain Tavernier, vice captain Furuhashi. The plan right now is to roll, but I have my team Kelly, Bidiff, and Bakayoko. So they're the kind of 3 players I could potentially. We'll have to wait and see how the window, the engine news is. I'll just bench Tanza and O'Hara this week because they'll come back in next week because St Mirren's got game week 16. Let me see. And Johnson away, so there's no point in pointing them when they're away when we're off team. So that's what it stands. But again, that can all change. Right, guys, that is us finished. So, Tom, get your plugs in.
Yep, I am at FFS underscore scout on Twitter.
Or X. Donny?
I am at FFS underscore Donny.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about the next game week. So, say goodbye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.